This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Avoiding DC drama. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Bruce Johnson, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Friday, October 30th, glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Senate has passed a two-year budget measure that means there will be no government default and no partial shutdown. Hear why critics are not happy with it.
One of the priorities for newly elected House Speaker Paul Ryan will be tax reform. Find out what he hopes to accomplish.
In sports, the Patriots remain unbeaten after pushing around the Dolphins last night. Meanwhile, Game 3 of the World Series tonight as the Royals try to push the Mets to the brink.
And the richest members of Congress and how they made their fortunes.
Members of Congress, in general, are significantly wealthier than the average American. The average American household has a net worth, median net worth is around $80,000, $85,000. The average median minimum net worth of Congress is $440,000.
Jason Dick at Roll Call on how the rich got richer. Here the congressman, by the way, who's by far and away the wealthiest. That story in about 25 minutes. Some terrifying moments on a passenger jet at a Florida airport. An engine on a plane headed for Caracas, Venezuela, burst into flames while taxiing for takeoff yesterday, forcing passengers to exit using inflatable emergency slides. 15 people were injured, one seriously, as 101 passengers and crew evacuated the Boeing 767 operated by Dynamic International Airways. In video shot by a passenger on another plane, towering clouds of thick gray smoke could be seen billowing from the aircraft. David Magro was on the plane.
I heard like a bump, and I heard people screaming, running to the front. I'm like, what's happening? So I turn around and look in the window, and it's like flames all over the turbine of the plane.
The airport was closed for about 3 hours. The FAA said the 29-year-old jet was leaking fuel before departure, and its crew was warned about the leak by a jet taxiing behind it. Dynamic, which is based in Greensboro, North Carolina, flies from Fort Lauderdale and New York's JFK Airport to two Venezuelan cities, Caracas and Maracaibo. It also flies to neighboring Guyana, according to its website. The Senate passed a two-year budget deal in the wee hours this morning that would prevent the U.S. government from defaulting on its debts next week and help avert a potential government shutdown in December. Senators voted 64-35 to approve the legislation shortly after 2:30 a.m., the same measure approved Wednesday by the House. President Obama is expected to sign it into law. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who's also running for president, is among those opposed, saying at a borrowing rate of $1 million a minute, we cannot afford the new spending.
The left gets more welfare, the right gets more military contracts, and the taxpayer is stuck with the deal.
The deal also lifts budget caps to boost spending for military and domestic programs by a total of $80 billion over 2 years. Additionally, it would protect senior citizens from an expected hike in Medicare premiums next year. Plus, in an effort to shore up Social Security, the measure contains language that will reduce potential Social Security benefits for millions of Americans by eliminating most of these so-called file and suspend claiming strategies. It's in effect for anyone who reaches age 62 after this year. Well, with Paul Ryan now, the new Speaker of the House, many are hoping the Wisconsin congressman can give Republicans a fresh start in pushing a fiscal conservative policy. Mr. Ryan, the youngest speaker at 45, has made fiscal policy his trademark issue. His budget plan called for deep cuts in spending and an overhaul of Medicare, and he had previously circled 2016 as the year to roll out his big tax reform ideas.
We need to make some changes, starting with how the House does business. We need to let every member contribute, not once they've earned their stripes, but now.
Of all his policy priorities, perhaps none is higher than overhauling the tax system with the aim of boosting wages and employment. The Wall Street Journal says Mr. Ryan has been working on a comprehensive revamp that would lower basic rates for both individuals and businesses, large and small, while narrowing or eliminating many current breaks. Rewriting federal poverty programs to make them more effective also is a high priority, especially given widespread public concern about inequality. It's 11 minutes now after the hour.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows, seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. And all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster, because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
Thanks for being with us. If you're among those who think Texas Senator Ted Cruz won the most recent Republican presidential debate, well, his supporters apparently agree. His campaign told Fox News yesterday that since Wednesday's performance, he's raked in $1.1 million in donations. Meanwhile, his patience is being tested as he trails in the polls behind businessman Donald Trump and retired surgeon Ben Carson. More from Caitlin Huey Burns, politics reporter at Real Clear Politics. She joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Caitlin, what are you hearing?
Well, Ted Cruz, as we know, has made a name for himself in the Senate as kind of the instigator and the outsider in the Senate. And he started this campaign really appealing to that part of the party. And we've seen in poll after poll after poll, the base of the Republican Party is very interested in an outsider candidate and a non-politician, someone who isn't afraid to go against the status quo. The problem for Cruz at this point, though, is that Donald Trump and Ben Carson have become the face of the outsider group. I will say that Cruz is rising in the polls, and he has risen in Iowa, but Ben Carson is leading him there, which can be slightly problematic. What Ted Cruz has going for him, however, is that first, he has a very extensive and organized campaign. He's been able to secure lots of money. He's been a prolific fundraiser. The other thing he has going for him is that he has really planned out a long-term campaign. He is looking for, a first or second place finish in Iowa, but unlike some of these other candidates, he is planning extensively in the other states, the states that come after the top four. I'm talking about the slew of southern states that will vote in primaries on March 1st. He is well organized and primed to pick up delegates in that primary.
We're speaking with Caitlin Huey Burns, political reporter at Real Clear Politics, about her piece entitled "Ted Cruz's Patience is Tested by Trump and Carson." He doesn't have to win Iowa, I think, if I understood from your story, but he does have to do well, and then things are basically set for him organizationally.
He has to do well in Iowa. The people that I talk to in Iowa say that there are three tickets out of there. One is kind of the outsider lane, which in which Donald Trump and Ben Carson are competing. The other is the conservative lane, the true conservative, which is what Ted Cruz is trying to shore up, and he's done a good job of that so far. He's, beating Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, Bobby Jindal, who are trying to vie in that lane. And then the other lane is the establishment lane, where Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Fiorina, John Kasich, are all competing. So if he can pull out, you know, at least a second place finish in Iowa, he should be in good shape because he has the backup of the southern states. And he thinks that Carson's record, and once Carson continues to rise, that he will come under scrutiny, and that meanwhile Cruz can kind of work behind the scenes and really shore up support so that if and when Carson and Trump fade, he's able to inherit that support.
As you point out too, he is counting on some sort of fade from the two front runners.
Right, that is the key here. Donald Trump, his constituency is a little bit harder to pin down, but Ted Cruz, you know, views Carson as a real competitor because Carson has been doing really well among evangelical voters who help propel candidates in a state like Iowa. And that's a group that Ted Cruz has been targeting since the beginning of his campaign. So if he really needs to chip away at Carson's support even more so than Trump. And he's already watched Trump fade in the polls as far as Iowa is concerned. So he sees the potential for a Trump fade there.
Thanks, Caitlin. Caitlin Huey Burns, politics reporter at Real Clear Politics. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Bruce Johnson is here. He has more of America's First News.
Gordon, good morning. The government will stay open and the bills will get paid under legislation given final approval by the Senate early today. The deal had been struck between Republican congressional leaders and Democrats. It was approved 64-35, but GOP presidential contender Rand Paul of Kentucky was one of those voting no.
I think the time is now. Enough is enough. We shouldn't be adding more debt.
Congressional leaders were intent on steering away from the brinkmanship and shutdown threats that have haunted them for years. One passenger says he heard a loud bang and then saw flames. David Magro is one of more than 100 passengers who had to quickly evacuate when a jet plane's engine caught fire yesterday as it prepared for takeoff at Fort Lauderdale International Airport. Here's audio from the tower.
Hey, dynamic, out of the left engine, it looks like it's leaking a lot of, I don't know if it's fuel, was fluid leaking out of the left engine. Engines on fire, we're calling the fire rescue right now.
One person was seriously hurt. The Dynamic Airways flight was bound for Caracas. Syrian peace talks will continue today in Vienna. Secretary of State Kerry and senior diplomats from almost 20 other countries began negotiating yesterday. Authorities in Kentucky have shot and killed a fugitive following a week-long two-state manhunt. Authorities have been looking for 62-year-old Floyd Ray Cook, who was accused of shooting a Tennessee police officer and firing at a Kentucky trooper. He was killed early today in a shootout. Billy Gregory of the Kentucky State Police says it's unclear why Cook finally came out in the open.
Whatever it was that drove him out, whether it's the weather, the change in the weather, the cooler temperatures, if he had been here 6 days, was he hungry? You know, those are things that we may not ever know the answers to.
Cook was convicted of rape back in the 1970s. And Gordy, unlike the Breaking Bad TV character with a high-tech meth lab, New Jersey police have charged Christopher Poole with cooking the illegal drug in his Chrysler in a parking lot. According to authorities, the man's car was filled with white smoke and he was seen pouring liquids into clear bottles. Obviously, the guy was no Walter White.
No. Is that going to be problematic when it comes to evidence, the white smoke in the car and him seeing pouring liquids?
It could get him in a bit of trouble.
I could see with a, yeah. Thank you, Bruce. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's time for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Harry's, quality men's shaving products for a fraction of big-name brands. Go to harrys.com and enter promo code DEAL for $5 off your first order and change the way you shave forever. Are you among those, like my wife, who likes the thrill of shopping on Black Friday? Well, before you venture out to put a dent in your holiday shopping on the day after Thanksgiving, you better make sure the stores you plan to visit are open. Wall Street Journal reporter Drew Fitzgerald says some retailers are opting to close on both Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Drew, what's up?
Yeah, well, there are a few retailers that have already announced their plans for Black Friday and Thanksgiving. Stores like GameStop, Staples, REI, that are kind of moving early and saying we're not going to be open on Thanksgiving at all, and maybe not even open on, in REI's case, on Friday. that's giving them a lot of good publicity. And the reason that they're doing it, they're saying is for a lot of reasons, but mainly to give the holiday back to their employees and to customers.
I love the idea of them not being open on Thanksgiving, but REI, Black Friday?
Right. You don't think of those two things together, and that's an important part of this. There's a catch. A lot of the chains that are doing this haven't traditionally made Black Friday their top sales day in years past. There are drawbacks if you can't make Black Friday a huge moneymaker to opening early on Black Friday and paying employees overtime and having the place staffed overnight when maybe there's not going to be a crush of people at 3 a.m. Shopping your aisles.
In the case of companies like GameStop, you mentioned Staples, REI, how much of a fear is there that they'll lose business to rivals, or do they anticipate those people will just shop online?
I don't think there's much fear. I think these chains know that people can shop online or based on the types of things that they sell, that they'll be doing their shopping for the holidays some other time, either earlier in the month or maybe closer to Christmas. The stores that really depend on the middle of the night, Black Friday, are a different type of retailer. They're the superstores like Walmart and Target and the biggest department stores.
We're speaking with Drew Fitzgerald at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Some Retailers Step Back from Black Friday Frenzy. What's reaction been like in, say, the retail industry?
Well, the reaction has been pretty muted. There's been a lot of executives from other chains who are happy to see this. They say that more power to these companies for doing this. But I don't think that you're going to see a lot of competitors, again, in the department store space or among the big box stores who are going to follow suit.
Thanks, Drew. Wall Street Journal reporter Drew Fitzgerald. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. It is Friday, October 30th. Gordon Deal with Bruce Johnson, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka today. Some of our top stories and headlines. A two-year budget bill passes. You can now call him Speaker Paul Ryan. Pennsylvania police shoot holes in that wayward Army blimp to deflate it. Burial today for Army Corporal Robert Witt, missing for 65 years since the Korean War. His remains were returned by North Korea this week. Another batch of Hillary emails today, Game 3 of the World Series tonight, and the man who finally cashed in his massive collection of pennies. Hear how many. That report in about 20 minutes. Maybe there's a reason Congress is reluctant to raise taxes on the richest 1% of Americans. It could be because 10% of our elected officials in Washington belong to that well-off group. Jason Dick, Capitol Hill editor at Roll Call, has a look at the richest members of Congress. Jason, what have you found?
What we found is that members of Congress in general are significantly wealthier than the average American. The average American household has a net worth, the median net worth is around $85,000, according to the Census Bureau. The average net worth for Congress is median minimum net worth of Congress, $440,000. So, roughly four times higher than the average American household.
Wow. So that makes it interesting when these guys discuss inequality, income inequality.
It does put sort of a more of a personal or professional sort of sheen on things.
Yeah. All right. So give us examples of, say, who the, some of the richest folks are in Congress and how they got that way.
So the wealthiest member of Congress is Darrell Issa. He has had that distinction for 3 years running, and he has typically been one of the wealthiest members of Congress since coming to Congress more than a decade ago. And he made his money actually kind of the new-fashioned way, which is that he built his wealth. Darrell Issa is a young man in Ohio. He started a car alarm company, which some people probably still use, Viper Alarm. And if you've come close to a Viper-alarmed car, you hear Darrell Issa's voice, something along the lines of, you know, please step away from the car and protected by Viper, stand back. He sold that business before coming to Congress in the early 2000s, put it into investments, stocks, bonds, and so forth. He has a little bit of real estate and some in trusts. He actually is he's the wealthiest member by far in terms of minimum net worth. $255 million is his minimum net worth.
Got it. We're speaking with Jason Dick. He's the Capitol Hill editor at Roll Call. They've got an interesting look entitled Wealth of Congress, How the Rich Got Richer. You know, it makes you wonder sometimes, with guys with that much money, like why they want to be in Congress. It can be so thankless, right? They catch so much abuse and criticism sometimes. And you know, that pay, I guess, to somebody like Issa is just, I don't know, it's beans.
It is. And one thing to keep in mind, too, is that there is quite a huge range in terms of the amount of wealth that members of Congress have. There are also, you know, a 23% of members claim a negative net worth. And just a little bit about how we determine, you know, these Wealth of Congress rankings. Members of Congress every year they're required to disclose what their net worth is and so forth. This doesn't count the income that they make as members of Congress, you know, $174,000 a year, the salary. So what they do, though, is they're required to list all of their assets and their liabilities. However, because they're not required to list the minimum net worth of their house, which is their primary dwelling. Yeah. So where they sometimes that income is a little understated, particularly at the lower end, because they still have to list their mortgages and any kind of debt like student loan debt or legal bills, things like that. So in the case of, say, you know, one of the more interesting cases is Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a Democrat from Florida. She's also the Democratic National Committee Chairwoman. Mm-hmm. She's ranked 537th out of 541 members for a minimum net worth of $907,000. However, she owns two homes, and although she's listed the mortgages that those homes are attached to, she is not required and did not list what the net worth or the value of those homes are. So it is conceivable that she actually has a minimum net worth that is in the positive territory, because of the way the disclosure laws work, we have to sort of determine, you know, just what the floor is on their worth.
Thanks, Jason. Jason Dick, Capitol Hill editor at Roll Call. It's 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 7799 at checkout. Code 7799.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday. It's time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online. We're joined live this morning by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. Nina, processed meats making news this week.
That's right, Gordon. The World Health Organization, they reported that consuming 50 grams of processed meat a day, which would be about less than two slices of bacon, increases the chance of developing colorectal cancer by 18%. So we saw people turning to Google to find out what exactly are processed meats. You know, does turkey count? Is beef a processed meat? And wanting to find out more information so that they can make a decision for themselves.
Right. And amid all the hysteria, here's the solution. Right? You don't have to eat two pieces of bacon every day.
Not every day.
Right.
Not every day.
Right. Everything in moderation, right? All right, so
exactly.
Daylight saving time this weekend.
That's right. This is a reminder that we're getting ready to fall back and set our clocks earlier. So many people were searching for daylight savings time, which ends at exactly 2 a.m. Eastern on Sunday in the U.S. So most of our phones will automatically reset for us. But this means brighter mornings, darker evenings, and this is the good one, an extra hour of sleep.
Yeah, well, for one day. I would trade that, though, for having that afternoon daylight back. I can't stand losing the daylight in the afternoon.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, we'll have the brighter mornings at least to get us through.
All right, so I'll give you that one. We're speaking live this morning with Google Trends expert Nina Tyler about things we've been searching for the most online. So I've been catching a lot of grief for this because of I've kind of been poking fun at Adele's new song and video. So let me play this clip. All right, so Adele, wonderful human being, terrific artist, just not somebody on my playlist, so I'm not caught up in the hype.
Oh my gosh, well, she's definitely on my playlist, Gordon. Her new single, Hello, which you just played, it's so catchy. It was released this week, and it is the biggest debut of any video on YouTube in 2015. So it just crossed the 100 million views mark. It has nearly 150 million views now in just 5 days, making it the fastest video to reach the milestone this year.
Today's leg day for me at the gym. Do you think this is worthy of my playlist?
You know what?
No.
I think you could get a little running on the treadmill for the song.
No, and Nina, the answer is no, it's not. All right, finish off with the NBA tipping off this week.
The NBA, yes, it kicked off on Tuesday. The Chicago Bulls, they defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers in the opener. And, you know, a lot of people just heading to Google looking for their favorite teams. The Los Angeles Lakers, they were the number one search team. Kobe Bryant, he was back on the court in his 20th season as a Laker. So he just set a record for the most seasons with one team.
Impressive. Hey, thanks for a few minutes, Nina. As always, Nina Tyler, Google Trends expert with us live this morning. 14 minutes now before the hour on this morning. America's First News, in case you can't get enough Adele. Hey, glad you're with us. Are you stocking up on Halloween candy? Well, the prices may spook you. The Wall Street Journal says candy prices are expected to be up 4.2% this month compared to October of last year. IHS Global Insight says the blame goes to rising prices for things like global raw sugar, refined sugar beets, and U.S. cocoa powder. Still, we'll spend about $2.1 billion on candy for Halloween. By the way, if you waited until today or tomorrow morning, you may avoid the price shock. The best deals on Halloween candy are likely to be found at the very last minute. 8 minutes now before the hour on this morning. Bruce Johnson is back with more of America's First News.
Legislation sparing the country has the specter of a catastrophic national default or partial government shutdown is now ready for President Obama's signature after the Senate approved the measure overnight by a comfortable margin. The deal also sets the budget for the federal government for the next 2 years. The Senate voted 64-35 with GOP presidential candidates Rand Paul and Ted Cruz among those voting no. Cruz had critical words for his party and Obama.
It is our own leadership that cooks up deals. Why do you think, Mr. President, we're voting at 1 a.m?
Obama had negotiated the accord with congressional leaders. It's a new day for the House. Wisconsin Republican Paul Ryan becoming the 54th speaker. Ryan says the House is broken, but promised members there would be a fresh start.
I am not interested in laying blame. We are not settling scores. We are wiping the slate clean.
Earlier in the day, outgoing Speaker John Boehner of Ohio gave a farewell speech.
I leave with no regrets. No burdens. If anything, I leave the way I started. I'm just a regular guy, humbled by the chance to do a big job.
Boehner was speaker for 5 years. It is expected to take the military at least through today to gather the pieces of an unmanned surveillance blimp that broke loose in Maryland and came down in Pennsylvania. There was helium in the nose when it came down. The Army had state troopers blast it with shotguns to release the gas. Volvo Cars is working on a kangaroo detection system to avoid costly car crashes in Australia. Volvo says there are more than 20,000 car kangaroo accidents in Australia every year. And Gordon, the ratings are up for the first two games of the World Series. Fox TV says the two-game average is 14.5 million viewers. That is a 16% increase over a year ago. And the series moves to Queens, New York tonight with the Kansas City Royals leading the Mets 2-0. Your Dano Ventura will pitch for KC and Noah Syndergaard for the Mets. And fellow Met fan, are you ready?
Let's go, Thor.
Yes.
We need you tonight, big fella.
Yep.
Throw those flames at 100 miles an hour.
Hopefully when we get back on Monday, we will still be talking about the World Series.
Right. Very good. How about those ratings, though? Outdone by the Republican presidential debates.
But after the debate ended, the numbers went up dramatically.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Bruce. 6 minutes now before the hour.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows, seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. And all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster, because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
Thanks for being with us. Unusual sight at a Louisiana bank. A man and his friends rolled up in a pickup truck, then unloaded a collection of pennies onto a dolly to cash them in. Otha Anders saved his first penny more than 45 years ago. A story in the News Star of Monroe, Louisiana says the 73-year-old Mr. Anders had 15 5-gallon plastic water jugs, and half a million pennies later, he cashed in $5,136. Took 5 hours. And they had to open those containers, by the way, with an axe and a hammer. Mr. Anders said he has truly enjoyed looking at his penny collection, to the extent that in the 1970s, when the U.S. government offered a $25 bonus for every $100 worth of pennies turned in, he refused to cash in his collection. That'll do it for this hour. For Bruce Johnson, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Hey, thanks for listening. If you love our show, we'd love it if you took a few minutes to give us a review on iTunes. And while you're at it, make sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow.